Everybody in the, because Jaws Lennon. Well, I think, you know, we're pretty active, I think, so I like it. I think it sounds sort of cool.
Amen. What does it mean when it says ND off? ND off. Maybe it's something to do with this.
ND off? That's a city.
ND.
Okay, just hit the record button as long as it's moving. Here we go. Okay. Okay, so I've got a message that's coming, that's new, and from what I'm seeing, it's probably something that at some levels will sound redundant, but it's something we're going to work on through the August retreat. We're still going to have an expanded August retreat. It won't be as big, but we've got some people coming. And it's probably going to take through then to get through all of this. So you have to bear with me because I'm even struggling with developing some of it, although I know it. It's come to me. I understand it. And now I want to figure out how to explain it in a way that helps us undo all the things that don't line up with it. We can hear a word and they're just words, but it's what is going on in our lives that is contradicting what we're hearing. So we can speak a word, we can even say we know righteousness. We've said the word 1,000 times, but after a while it just becomes a word. And we have cliches that we say and they really don't help us. Sometimes even when we sing, we say words, but it's the feeling and the sense that are behind the words is what changes our lives. And so I'm going to go back to something we need to keep going back to, because we have to keep looking at these areas that where we're saying one thing and in reality we're not identifying these things that don't line up with what we're saying and what we're talking about. So I'm going to continue to talk about righteous judgment. And the reason we need to talk about it more is because I am calling it the prime directive. And we all remember stories of good kings. You know, you've seen him on TV, you've seen him in some of the medieval times. There's a good king, and the whole kingdom loves the king because he's good to the people. When they're brought before him, he always somehow had the wisdom where all the parties went away with something. Nobody felt robbed or taken advantage of, and they were all happy. And we've seen it. You've seen it. Said, boy, he's really got a lot of wisdom. You know, how did he work that out? You know, and we need a king like that in our lives that enters and takes us into the kingdom. This king is your own righteous understanding. This king is you. It's your mind in line with truth. It's not out there. It's not a person. It's your own identity. This is the king.
Amen.
It's not a personality. It's not an ego. It's a directive. It's a guide. It's a guide that takes us into the kingdom. So I want to take you on this journey where we're seeing and understanding a type of wisdom where these barnacles of untruth just begin to fall away. Because that's what we need. You know, we hear about living in peace and joy and contentment, and it's really not happening like it should. It's really not a daily thing. And there's reasons for that. And in order for us to escape this corruption that surrounds us. Maybe we use a better word so people will raise their hands. Nobody wants to raise their hand and say they're corrupt, but really what it was talking about in Peter about the corruption and lust was our desire for something. And we all say, well, that's right, there's nothing wrong with having a desire for something, but I'm going to say there is, and I'm going to tell you why. You're going to find out why tonight that there is. So there's a truth. There is a truth so pure that no one can argue with it. Not one person. And it talks about it in Scripture. It talks about this truth. And it says when this truth comes, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And what it says is that they'll be ashamed when they learn this truth. That they'll be ashamed. Now, I'm not talking about being ashamed in a sense that they're guilty. It's so unbelievable that they can't argue with it, and they now realize how good this truth is. Yeah. It's so wonderful. Yeah. And this is the kind of truth that we want to begin to talk about tonight. And in order to find out this truth, we've got to continue to hone in on righteous judgment. Because we understand righteousness in a certain way and judgment in a certain way. But when they connect to each other, it's a whole new world for us. And we haven't understood that the right way. And so we want to embark on this pure realization, this journey, and this place that's waiting for you. And it's a dwelling place that's prepared for you. It's the place Jesus said, I am going to prepare a place for you. This is the place we're talking about. I'm going to prepare a place for you that dwells outside of time and space. It isn't a location. It's not somewhere you can go. And it's not somewhere you can go in the future. And that's what I really want to talk about tonight. It's a place that's waiting for you. It's a place that's been prepared for you. It's a place that dwells outside of time and space. And so, if it dwells outside of time and space, then it has to be true that it has always been waiting for you. So this truth has to be prepared for you already. It has to be already waiting for you because it's have to eternally exist. It's called eternal life. Understanding this truth is called eternal life. It has to be already waiting for you because God doesn't live in time and space. There's no such place as time and space. So, and here, you finally enter into this place where you begin to know who you always have been. It's a place where harmony catches up and expunges all the delusion that we've had. It expunges it. It's a place where your soul meets with true understanding. Not this thinking mind, no, I'm not talking about that. Because as Rex talks about with Liz, the stinking thinking will continue to go on. And then we judge ourselves for stinking thinking and it turns into a spiral. And sometimes you just can't get out of it. You know, and it's not okay. It's not fun. There's no judgment from outside. All the judgment's going on inside. There's plenty already there. Within that realm of thinking, there's already plenty of judgment there. So we don't need any more of that. And so what's happened is our senses through judgment have lifted us out of our own identity. This is what happened at the beginning and what we've all been taught. 10 generations ago it began. 30 generations ago it began. It's why it talks about the generations of man and how it's held us down in bondage. That's why it It starts out with this, because Jesus came to set us free from the generations of man. But it's been this delusion, this judgment that has lifted us out of our identity, has resulted in fear. Then it set us in a realm of time and space. This fear has pushed us into a realm of time and space. It's forced us into watching the clock. The fear has. And the judgment has caused the fear. So it's this unspiritual Bermuda Triangle, I guess you could call it. Right? All of this has been created by a vain imagination of us thinking we're somebody that needs something. First, we think we're somebody. Well, as soon as you think you're somebody and you've got your own identity, you're outside of the realm of reality. You're in a realm of change. You're in a realm of time and space. As soon as you think you're somebody. Okay, because that's a problem. Because we got to protect this thing, this idea we've got of ourselves. We go around trying to protect it and puff it up. So, how do we begin the journey? And I think by the time we get to the end of this evening, you'll understand why we want to go back and deal with what I call the prime directive. Now, I think all of you guys will be with me, at least here, in recognizing the prime directive, where it came from. And it came from a movie series called Star Trek. And as a little boy, I watched it. I somehow snookered my mom into letting my brother and I bring in a little black and white TV. I can't remember how I tricked her into it, because we didn't have any money. And I can't remember how I got it. It doesn't matter. But we had a little $80 black and white, 13-inch black and white TV we smuggled in our room. And Star Trek back then, this would have been in the late 60s, was on every night at 10:30. Well, we were supposed to be sleeping. So we'd watch it with the sound off, just so, because it was so cool, you know. And so Star Trek had this prime directive. Now, I'm going to change the definition of it. But their prime directive was they couldn't go in and alter a society that they visited, where it would change the future, right? Or history. So they would go in disguises and try to fix these things that in some cases were going to destroy their universe, right? So they would go in and they would find these things. They had to go in. Well, they weren't allowed to mess with history or mess with the culture. And believe it or not, with Star Trek, one of them was about warp drive, and I don't want to get into that, you know, because we're getting off into, they couldn't help anybody even figure out what warp drive was, you know, so they had to protect their warp drive technology. But anyways, we'll come back now to what do I mean by prime directive. The prime directive I'm seeing, and this is where I'm at today, is to me this primary door of entering into the kingdom of God. It's the first door, it's the threshold for entering into the kingdom of God. A truth that I'm calling the prime directive that guides us into the new heaven and new earth that's talked about in the end of Revelation. It's a new heaven and new earth. And we're going to begin at some point to talk about the end of the world. And we're going to go through that together, believe it or not. It won't be a sci-fi thing, and it won't be something that happens in the future, because there is no future. No such thing as the future. So, Jesus gave the prime directive. And the reason I can say this is because there's just myriads of verses. There's hundreds of verses that line up with this one verse. When you begin to pour through Scripture, there's just hundreds of them that talk about the same thing. I've brought the message of the righteous judgment of God at four times now, and people that's listened to it four times thought it was a new message because they heard it in a different way. And so, to me, the prime directive starts with John 7:24, where he says to you, not to your neighbor, not to somebody else, he says to you, you judge according to appearance. So he says, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Judge righteous judgment. Not our kind of judgment. He says, judge righteous judgment. So we've been talking about the righteous judgment of God, but he's telling us to judge righteous judgment. Well, listen, I can't do that. I can't do that. I'm raising my hand. None of us can do that. You can't do it. You can't judge righteous judgment. Nobody can. No man can ever judge righteous judgment. It's impossible. And that's part of the problem. That's why we need to talk about it again. Because when you think about it, say, boy, that's a lot of work. And I've had a couple people say, how do you do that? Well, that's the wrong question. The question is, I can't do it. So we have to see it. We've got to see it first. And that's why we have to go back and start with God and understanding what he means by it for us to understand what it means. So, he says, why do you keep looking at things after the outward appearance? Why do you keep doing that? You know this is the problem. And what does that mean? Looking at things after the outward appearance. Well, we're going to find what that means. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead, he quickened us together with Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kingdom towards us through Christ Jesus. Well, we're not going to see that until we enter into the kingdom. Because it says it dwells in his kingdom. It says it's in the kingdom. Well, we think we're in the kingdom, and I'm here to tell you, we're not in the kingdom. Okay? I'm gonna shock you. Okay? We're not in the kingdom. You know why? Because we're all judging by appearances. We think that the kingdom is going to be restored in this earth. And it's not true. Nothing is going to be restored here in a visible plane of appearances. He said, my kingdom's not of this world. This is our problem. We're trying to establish a kingdom in this world. And guess who else is doing it? The Hebrews? What are the Hebrews waiting for? For Jesus to come and establish a kingdom in this world, and to bring this world of appearances into some kind of order. And I'm here to tell you, it won't happen. It's never going to happen. Ever. Nothing's going to happen down here that's going to have some kind of pattern of blessing to it. And until we rise above this mind-formed world, which is what it is, we're never going to be content. And we're going to be popping a lot of balloons, okay, with this. But if you bear with me, you're going to see what it is we're talking about. So, the prime directive is understanding a father that judges no man. Now, for the father judges no man and have committed all judgment unto the son. Now, we've understood this, and here's the beginning of understanding this correctly. We have understood this to mean that he is simply not judging anyone, or he's withholding judgment. That's not what it means. God isn't withholding judgment. He's not back there grinding his teeth and like holding, you know, something in that he wants to let out, you know. But that's our definition of it, that somehow God's just not judging people because he's a nice guy. And that's not what it is. So we can't understand judgment correctly in this way. God is not withholding judgment. He is judging in righteousness. It's a big difference. A huge difference. So if you're looking out into this world, I'm going to say this again, but I'm going to say it now to help get you on track with me. If you're looking out into this world and waiting for something to happen, there's two problems with it. One is you're living in the future, and two, you're trying to bring change into a world that God knows nothing about and will not change. And if he wanted to change it, it had been done already. So what's going on out there? Why do the issues of life come in and shake us up so easily all the time? It's because we're so deeply attached to time and space.
That's right. Yeah.
And this earth, we're so attached to it, and it's been so ingrained in us that we don't know the difference between the kingdom of God and this world.
Oh, yeah.
He said, my kingdom is not of this world. Hello? Hello? I hear that when I do that. I hear that in the recording. My kingdom is not of this world. So why are we thinking that God's going to come down and set up a kingdom again in this world, just like the Hebrews and just like every other religion, every other church, every other kingdom group? They're all thinking that something's going to change down here. And he said, my kingdom's not of this world. It's a place of faith. It's the evidence of things not seen. That's where it begins. And so we're going to escape. We're really going to escape, if you can track with me. And I hope I communicate this in a way where it helps us all. But I'm seeing really the foolishness of us thinking that we're rewarded in this realm for some special way or some special belief, that somehow we're rewarded for it, or that things should go smooth, that that's some kind of evidence that things should go smooth. Because two things will happen if we believe that. One, if they don't go smooth, we'll deny it. We won't feel like we can tell anybody. And two, we'll think something's wrong with us. I don't care who you are. If something comes by and smacks you side the head and it's something big, you think something, the first thing that happens is we get religious.
Yep.
We want to start praying to something to fix this mess. That's the urge. That's the urge we get. We think, wow, I want to get out of this. But it's our wanting to get out of it that's creating the problem. Because then we move back in to time and space where we then desire something we don't have. If it's not here in this moment, it's never going to be there. And so, okay, go ahead, try to set your kingdom up in this world, and there'll be times that don't feel like the kingdom's in this world. What do you do then? Right? So what are we doing? Judging by appearances. That's what happens. We get thrust back in to hell and destruction, which is a place that can never be satisfied. And so I don't care who they are, whether it's Infinite Way or even in this ministry, we cannot teach that something is going to come or there's going to be some reward for some way we believe. Because if there's something coming and I don't have it, I'm back into the realm of judgment. It has to be something I have right now. Not something that's going to come tomorrow even, or in 10 minutes even. Because it's never going to come. Whatever peace you're looking for and that thing you don't have, it's never going to come. The peace that you need won't come with it. The thing might, but then something else will show up. Okay, I'm guaranteeing you now, something else will show up. And so we've gone from pillar to post, from generation to generation, looking for blessing in a world that isn't even real. Now, why isn't it real? You say, oh, how can you say that? How can you say it's not real? I mean, I pinched myself, you know, that hurts. You know, and you can see me right now. Well, we've taught this. We've taught about what is reality. We've taught what is reality. And just in its own definition, reality is something that can never change. Because if it changes, it means it wasn't real. It means it's gone. It's gone. So how could it be real? If it's here one day and gone the next, you know? It's a mantra. There's songs about it. But somehow, in this 70 that we call life, things happen. And somehow we've taken God and tried to force him back in to this 70, which he calls a vapor, by the way. He says it's a vapor. He says it's vanity. Solomon said it called it all vanity. So go ahead. It's okay to try to get things here, but don't bank on it making you content. That's what I'm saying. Don't look for peace and contentment in it, because it's like the wind. Problems come and go. They come and go, and they come more than they go, because they come easy and go hard, don't they?
Amen.
They come easy and go hard, because we're just tortured in between these times that seem like they never end. And you get a little bit of relief, and you get another phone call. Yeah? I'm not kidding you. Now I know. Why do I know? Why am I hearing this stuff? Because I'm telling you, I got 50 people working for me and hundreds of thousands of customers, and I'm talking to people all day long that are stuck in this same time and space thing. And I'm starting to see a way out. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to talk to people. To be honest with you, I'm not sure how I'm even going to talk to them anymore, because I really saw it this last few days. And I'm telling you, it's the most joy I've ever felt in years.
Praise God.
The most joy I've ever felt in years. And so, and I can't just give you the statement and have you hear it. I've got to walk you through what happened to me so you can see it all. Because I can't just, I don't understand it well enough to just give it to you in one sentence. Okay? And I've already said it twice. I've already told you the answer twice. But we're going to try to lead all the ponies up to the water here and get everybody to take a drink. I think I can get you to take a drink too. That'd be cool, wouldn't it?
That'd be good.
This kind of water is something that's going to continuously feed you. And I've seen it now. I've understood it, that it's something that you receive once you've entered into the kingdom of God. Now, and my ego wants to think I've known and been in the kingdom of God, and I'm here to tell you that I haven't. And I didn't even know I hadn't until I started hearing this. And I'll tell you why. Because I haven't had a peace that's past all understanding. I haven't. I've been following this wild dog that's got all these things happening to him. And his leash is strapped to my ankle. And I don't know how to untie the thing. I don't. And I'll tell you, when something, and I'll give you another clue why this is so good. Because Diane and I just went at it like cats and dogs this whole week. And we never do unless something good's coming. Because she's really nice. She's nice. She's way nicer than me.
She fights fair.
And it just, there's just all of this turmoil. And I finally realized, because there's been a while since that's been there, there's always something very precious waiting on the other side of it. And it is good stuff. It's really good.
Gold burning in the refining fire.
Yes.
Wow.
So we've got to understand the way God judges people, and we almost need to use a different word, because we've just been so ingrained with the word judgment being having a negative connotation.
That's right.
It's so negative, we almost need to come up with a different word. And I don't know what that word is. I'm working on that, okay? But it's called righteous judgment. Not judgment, judgment. Or not my judgment. Yeah? What was that?
Adjustment of the saints.
Yeah, there you go. So, righteous judgment is where mercy and truth meet together. And even mercy, we think God's forgiven us for something, okay? Well, God ain't forgiven us for anything. The only forgiveness we need is not knowing who we already are. That's all. We don't need forgiven for our deeds, because God looks at you and looks at everyone that's ever lived on the face of the earth the same way. Now, we have trouble getting past that because of all of the crap that's going on out there. We can't We can't, well, I can see it for me, and I can see it for you guys, because you're here and you all seem nice. You know, but what about a guy that drowned his baby? What about that? What about that? What do I do with that? See, that's all dwelling in this world. That all dwells in a sense of time and space, doesn't it? That where my mind can't move outside of that realm. My mind can't. And don't try to get it to, because it's going to be hopeless. It will not happen. We have to move into a realm that's beyond time and space. We've got to rise above mind. You can't do it with your mind. So don't condemn yourself if your mind is spinning and if it's trying to get things, because peace will come. And I kept saying to the Father, I said, I'm understanding all this wonderful truth. Why am I tormented? Why am I troubled? Why is my wife and I not being nice to each other? We just weren't nice to each other this week. And I said it to her. I said, I didn't just blame it on her. I said, why can't we just be nice to each other? Why is it so hard? Well, one of the reasons that it was going on is because we're just getting ready to go over the waterfall of this joy and peace. And it's hanging on for dear life, whatever it is. Now, I don't believe in no intelligent spirit of error. Don't get me wrong. I don't believe there's any power out there at all. I think it's all here. The only thing that's your enemy, the only problem you've got, is goes on just being in between your ears.
That's right.
You can't even tell somebody they're judging you. You can't do that. You can't. You can't do it. Now listen, you can't do it, and I'll tell you why. Because you get both portions then. Mm-hmm. Because it starts with you, and it's going to end with you. And you can do it, and they don't even know it. Okay? So the only place you can feel judgment is in your own mind. Nobody can judge you. And I'm going to tell you why. One, you're not a human being. You're not a person. You're pure spirit. And God doesn't ever feel judged by anybody. And that's your spirit. The spirit of righteous judgment that not only doesn't feel judged, it doesn't even judge anybody. And when it does, it sees them holy. Now, how could I ever look out in this world and declare everybody holy? I can't do it, and neither can you. So don't try. And don't fight it either. Just let it come and go. It's nothing. It has no power. It has no value. No matter, you can judge people and you can say this person's good and that person's bad. That's not righteous judgment. That's man's judgment. And he said, don't eat of that tree.
Right.
Don't eat of it. Don't go there. I'm warning you.
Because
as soon as you do, you're going to be afraid. And then we all hung clocks up in our foyer. Yep. We got a big one right there. I need to get my shotgun out right after the lesson here and shoot that thing. Right? Yep. She won't like that, but just as a symbol. So righteous judgment is more than mercy. It says here, mercy and truth have met together. I like this, what this says a little bit better. It says, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. So this kind of righteousness, the first time you hear it, it brings peace to you. It says, the wisdom from above is first pure. First pure. Well, to me, that's when we move from judging by appearance to judging righteous judgment. That's the threshold. That's the first step. Because it says to know him is life eternal. Well, we've got to know this God that doesn't judge a man and doesn't live in a realm of judgment. He doesn't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Right.
And it's really called the tree of the knowledge of judgment of good and evil, really, isn't it? Because that's what we're doing, is we're judging things are good and judging things are evil. Right? So you got to throw that word in there. So, truth will spring out of the earth, it says. And righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us up in a way of his steps. Now, truth shall spring out of the earth. What is this earth? It's our world. This is the new world. This is the new heaven and the new earth. Truth will spring out of this earth of non-judgment. Truth will spring out of an earth of you withdrawing from wanting something. Now, I'm just telling you, you're never going to escape time and space if you don't stop your desires for something. And I'm not talking about wanting to go and have a sloppy Joe. Right? We're not talking about that. We're talking about the thing that's eating your lunch, not giving you lunch. What is it? What is that thing that you go to bed with every night and that you wake up with every morning? Now listen, I'm not telling you, I've got them now. I've got them. So I'll start, I'll confess first. You don't even have to raise your hand. I'm telling you, things happen where I take stuff to bed with me and I wake up with them in the morning. And it hadn't been that long ago, and it might happen again. But I'm starting to know better. I'm starting to know not to follow it. I'm starting to understand I ain't following that thing. I'm really starting to understand it. That it, whatever happens, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because we're not going to take anything with us. Whatever it is we're trying to protect or keep, we can't take any of it with us. But somehow we're delusional. We really are delusional when you look at it. You know, it's delusional. So this earth, truth will spring up out of the earth. So what it's going to do is it's going to right the ship. It's going to make your earth a place of peace. Because that's the byproduct of this pure wisdom. It says it's first peaceable. So if whatever dilemma we're in isn't producing peace in your life, it's not the right earth. It's not the right world. It isn't this world. This truth that shall spring out of the earth and righteousness will look down from heaven. That's why I'm telling you that the righteous judgment of God's the threshold. We're going to read verses that tells that righteousness is looking from heaven. It's proclaiming it. It's seeing it. And everybody, that's all it can see is righteousness. It isn't something anybody does, obviously, because we aren't doing it. I'm not doing it. So it's seeing it, though. It's declaring it. God has declared that he's judging the world in righteousness and the people with equity and uprightness. And in loving kindness, he bestows his mercy. In loving kindness. Yea, this Lord will give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. Right there's your prime directive. Righteousness goes before us, right? And shall set us in the way of his steps. So it's understanding this righteous judgment of God and righteousness that puts us on the right path. It's the first step. It's telling us right here. It will set us on the way of his steps. It sets us in the right place. Now this is just the beginning now. This isn't the final deal. This is just so we can get to the door of the kingdom of God. This just gets us at the door. Right? So now we're on the right path is all. That's why I'm excited, because I got a glimpse of what we're seeing when we get inside the door. And when it talks about the 7 days of unfoldment, and it talks about in Daniel and Revelation about this unfolding that happens in these days, it is the kingdom of God unfolding in our lives, and it's the end of our world. Our world. Your own world. Your own little earth that you created. Each of us has to go through this death of our own world. That's what it's talking about in Scripture when it says the end of the world will come. It's not this thing out here.
Right.
It's got nothing to do with the trees.
Yep.
It's got nothing to do with the lion laying down with the lamb. It's talking about getting rid of the controversy in your own mind. It's not talking about animals. Hello? Come on now. Help me with this, would you?
Yeah.
Are you with me a little bit?
Yeah.
It ain't got nothing to do with no lion laying down with no lamb. Or a mosquito quits biting you. Okay? Hello, help me now. We got to rise above that, I hope.
Amen.
That's just foolishness. Because people still want to, they don't want to get a flat tire and, you know, they want something to serve them dinner every night, you know, and that's their idea of the kingdom of heaven. Right? But what about people that are scraping just to get a meal of porridge somewhere? What about our brethren? Our brethren now. What about our brethren? What about people that starve to death? What about those people? Doesn't it include them?
Of course.
It has to include them. So this thing about blessing and stuff don't include them, does it? It don't include our Liz. She left at 31 with breast cancer. Now anybody stands here and starts condemning her, I'm gonna go back into unrighteousness and pop them in the nose. You know? Because there wasn't a girl I know that was more on the hunt and more on a desire to know God. Nobody I know. There's no one I know. This girl here knows. And she left us. And it brought a lot of questions up. I said, well, why? And I was sort of back into this, you know, I was sort of believing some of the healing stuff and some of that stuff. I said, well, I guess I failed that one. You know, whatever it was. And I think of Jesus when he came back and Mary and Martha were together. And Mary come running to him. He said, oh, Jesus, if only you'd been here, my son, my brother wouldn't have died. If only you'd been here. And it said that there was a great groaning within his spirit. And he wept. And he wasn't weeping about the fact that Lazarus died. He was weeping about the unconsciousness of Mary and Martha, that they couldn't see beyond this physical realm.
Yeah.
And he'd been teaching them it day after day after day. And yet they still wanted to be healed. They still wanted to be raised from the dead so they could get sick again and die. Come on now, help me again. Help me. Hello. Kathy Fitz, still struggling, going in to see doctors and going to the hospital and struggling with health issues. And she's got a whole book on how God delivered her from cancer. Okay? And she knows it. I've talked about it with her. I said, Kathy, do you still believe that stuff? No. But she believes this little paragraph in her book where she finally said, I finally realize it doesn't matter whether I live or die anymore. Hallelujah.
That's it.
That's the deliverance. From this level of understanding. She's just beginning now to rise above that. That what goes on in this world has nothing to do with who we are.
Amen.
Nothing to do with who we are. Nothing. So we do not believe in a gospel that affects us and improves our social lives. Nor do we believe in a gospel that improves prosperity. We don't believe in that. I don't believe in it. And I don't care who says it. I'm not following it anymore. And I'm not believing in metaphysical meditation that if you sit and hum long enough, you'll be healed. I'm not believing in that anymore either. And there's a lot of people that are going to listen to this that won't like me saying this. But I've known it for a year and I've got to come out and say it. We can't believe in this world. I'm putting no faith in what I see down here. It's telling us that. I'm not going to judge by appearances. And I'm not going to judge you by appearances. And I'll guarantee you, if somehow I could communicate with Liz and interview her right now, she said, I'm doing great. Okay? I see a lot clearer now than I used to. Now, we can start seeing clearly right now.
Yes, we can.
I'm convinced of it, absolutely convinced of it, that we can start seeing clearly. We have to begin, though, because it says repeatedly that this is eternal life, that we might know thee, the only true God. Well, we better have first principles settled down so that we at least know the difference between judging by appearance and righteous judgment. And what areas are being introduced into our life where there's not righteous judgment? And I'm telling you, they're connected intricately to the fact that we are desiring something in a time and space zone. They're connected because Jesus says time is fulfilled. Time is fulfilled. So when fear came and man was told, man's consciousness now said, Eve, you're going to bear children in sorrow, and Adam, you're going to have to go out work your butt off. Right? The burden of time and space followed fear. It's a burden. The clock is a burden. The clock judges you. A clock judges you.
Amen to that.
Ooh. It does. I'm not kidding you now. Your clock judges you.
Sure does.
Why? Because you think something's going to happen.
Yep.
Something's going to happen tomorrow.
Yep.
I might lose something that I don't own and I can't take with me. It's funny, isn't it? Thank you for that spiritual urge, because it's funny. Now, we're certainly attached to stuff. Boy, look around here. You know, and I'm getting less detached. And we learned the last time we were together, it said, I've learned the secret. I've learned the success of life is knowing how to live with much and how to live with not so much. And so if it comes and goes, you know, I don't want to tell you my history. You don't want to know my history, but I'm just telling you quite a few things have come and gone. Okay? It wouldn't sound pretty, and I'd bore you. Okay? If I told you.
But don't bore us.
I'm going to bore you.
You've been there.
So I want righteousness to go before me and to set my way in front of the door of the kingdom. I want righteousness to go before me. So I've got to understand my Father, the Spirit within me now, like this. I've got to understand what he means by righteous judgment. I've got to come into agreement with it. I can't just say the words. I've heard the words before, and this is something old. It's not old if we're living in this world and we see something wrong with things in this world. It isn't old. It's not old. Now, 1 John's another verse. Now, here's a humiliating statement to a man who thinks he's somebody. And now, little children. It's us, little children, who are running after things, going to and fro across the earth. Right? We thought that was the devil in Job. It was our mind. God said to your mind, what are you doing? I'm running to and fro across the earth. Which really meant I'm not getting anywhere, God. And so it was the mind of Job wrestling with the spirit of Job. That's what this was. It was an allegory of the serpent of Eden, which was man's own mind, wrestling with the spirit of God that dwells within him. Because it says the flesh wars against the spirit. Now, this is a continuous thing now. And this war is why there's unrest inside us. That's where the unrest is coming from, this war. It's coming from the war. So he says, little children, abide in him. Who's the him? This God that judges righteous judgment. He says, abide in him. That when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed at his coming. Now, this isn't talking about a second coming. This is talking about your recognition of your spiritual life. When that will come to you, it says you will have confidence and you won't be ashamed. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. A God that doesn't judge a man. A God that doesn't see a man. That makes it easy, doesn't it?
Yep.
God doesn't recognize man as having substance. And he talked to Job about it. Who are you? I don't know you. What are you doing bragging? Think you know something? You don't even know who you are, he said. And you're bragging about this guy who doesn't know who he is. We're bragging about it. That's what he said to Job. It's craziness. And so here he says, we'll not be ashamed that it is coming. Why? This is the key part of this verse. This is 1 John 2. I'll give you the notes, okay? This is what he says. Because you'll know that he's righteous. There it is again. Because you'll know that he is righteous. And we're called, in Jeremiah, our name is called the Lord, our righteousness. So this dwells within you. This is where the friction's coming from, guys. Because this thing dwells inside you. That's why there's turmoil inside. We think it's out here. We think there's turmoil out here, and that needs to be fixed. But the turmoil's in here because we're wanting to add something to perfection. We think we need something more screwed on to righteousness. And he said it to Abraham. He said, I'm your reward. Hello. Well, what do you give me?
Yep.
So, right?
Yes.
So, we know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Well, how do you do righteousness? Right? You just got to see righteousness to do it. Just talking about seeing it. Seeing righteousness in that person.
That's good. That's really good.
Seeing it.
See righteousness.
Everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. And it says right before, because he understands he is righteous. That spirit within you judges righteous judgment. That's why you can't get away with it. Because wherever you're going, if there's something contrary going on, the friction's inside. It's all in here. This is why it tears your body up. That's why it's hard, physically.
Yep. That's good.
That is good.
Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, not man, not human beings, the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not. The world is, again, our concept of life. This is some people out here. We're back to our earth, our world, right? Because we can't start condemning people. As a matter of fact, when it talks about the goats and the sheep, you're the goat and the sheep. Okay? Your goat is the guy that's not satisfied because he's always saying but. And the sheep just says amen, right? Thank you. Amen. So, that we shall be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew not him, because it doesn't know our true identity. See, we've always read that and blamed somebody. It says, oh, I know those guys. I know who it is. It's my neighbor who runs over my sprinklers. That's who it is.
Yep.
Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Here it says it again. Hello, we going to get it? And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. This is all talking about now. This isn't about future. Do you hear it? This is all talking about right now, right in this moment, right now. When you let go of your world, your idea of life, when you let go of that and realize who you are, it's not going to matter whether you get what you want or don't get what you want. It's not going to matter anymore. It won't matter. And if it comes, fine. I love the way that Peterson said it in the message. Remember he said, man's nothing and a woman's beauty, but she's nothing. And if a boon comes, don't get too excited about it. Remember what he said in that verse a couple times ago? He says, if you get a bunch of money, don't get excited about it. Because it'll be gone just as quick as it come. Okay? Because then you're afraid of losing it. See? If you get some. Yeah. I'm just telling you, there's a lot of zeros going on up there. I'm going into the bank to borrow another $1 million. Okay? So you want to talk about needing money. And we're doing okay, but I need $1 million. Anybody got $1 million? Probably not. Well, they're going to give me some, you know, but anyway.
Enjoy the moment.
I want to read that again. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. But when it doth, not yet appear what we shall be. Well, why does it not yet appear what we shall be? Because we're stuck. See, we're stuck in it. But we know that when he shall appear, this understanding of who God is, and we have to understand, when we understand who God is, we understand our true being. We're understanding the Lord our righteousness, which he said in Jeremiah, and this will be their name. The name of Judah and Israel, it said. This will be their name. Not some God that's some kind of misty thing on a marble throne. So it's your name within you. That's why he said, our Father which art in heaven, right? And in Revelation 22, it said, behold, the habitation of God is with man. Right after it announced a new earth and new heaven was to come. Right after it. Well, you're never going to enter the kingdom until you realize this God of righteousness, this God that judges the world in righteousness, is your spirit. And you only got one spirit. We don't have two natures. This God is your spirit. So this is the rub, isn't it? This is the rub. Right there is the friction. Because we're out here trying to get screw something more on to God, to his spirit. He says, I'm all in all. And I'm all you need and I'm everything. Is that enough? Isn't that enough? And that's the answer. Is it not enough? So when we understand this hope, we become pure in mind. Right? And it says that we're pure. So here we go. Problems come and go as the wind blows through the trees. Boy, we all know that, don't we? So what do? In this world, trouble surrounds us on all sides. And what's at the heart of this trouble? It's a religious mind, or what some circles call the world mind. It's the mind of man. It's our judgment of a particular situation. Now, I'm not going to ask anybody to write it down, but I almost guarantee we brought in with us a particular situation. Almost can guarantee you. I've got a couple of my own that I brought in with me. There's a particular situation I wished would either get better or go away. I've got one of each, actually. I'd like one to get better and I'd like the other to go away. And I've been there before and they've all disappeared and then a few more follow them. They're like twins. They come in packs. They're like wolves. You know? So one goes, here comes another one. Now, is that really living in peace? Is that living in contentment? It's not. It's not the answer. And so, the problem is we have some dream that in this, if this or that would just happen, all would be well. So we can fill in the blank, right? So what are we waiting for? What are we waiting to happen? What do we want to happen? And so what are we listening to? What are we waiting for? What are we listening to? This noise that goes on between our ears is always telling us something's wrong. Always. It's always telling us something's wrong. Something's not quite right. It's why it's called a realm of hell and destruction. It's man living in the future, which isn't real. There's nothing out there. There's never a future. If you believe in the future, then we're back into believing in time and space. We believe in time and space. Our judgment comes from a sense of time and the illusion that time even exists. Now we're starting to embark on this new understanding a little bit, okay? Because when we start to dwell in a realm beyond time and space, when we start to dwell in that realm, whatever happens to us will not matter. It won't matter. Now that's easier said than done. I realize that, okay? So we're gonna talk about it some more. But I'm going to give you an example that should help you. In our search for peace and contentment, we instantly jump off course. Because we're searching for peace and contentment, we have to be searching for it out into the future.
Right.
Have to be. If we're looking for peace and contentment, we're never going to find it because we're looking for peace and contentment. That's why.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yep. Now that's something you can take to the bank. If you're looking for peace and contentment, you'll never find it because you obviously don't have it. And it's, you're thinking it's going to come tomorrow when this thing gets better. Whatever it is. Doesn't matter how pretty it looks. It could be just a new dress. I've seen some young girls just having fits over some of this stuff. They go straight to hell over a pair of shoes. I'm not kidding you. I hope I'm a little deeper than that because I'm not into shoes. Yes, my wife. I got a pair I've been wearing 2 years. And she wants me to go, I said, honey, I like them shoes. They're comfortable. I don't want to break in another pair, you know. She says, oh, you got to have another pair of shoes. You know, I said, oh, okay. There you go. So if you hear anything tonight, hear that. We're failing to find peace and contentment because we're looking for peace and contentment. You're never going to find it. Ever. You can never find peace and contentment. Ever. It's impossible. It's almost got to come from behind you and whack you side the head, right? Which it did to me yesterday. I said, Mike, this has been here all along. You've just been looking for all the wrong things. It's like that country western song, looking for love in all the wrong places.
Yep.
You know? Every place but the right place. And here it was there all the time. It was there all the time. Here's another one. We are surprised when issues or problems come into our life. We're surprised. We're surprised. This is the beginning of religion, right here. Oh, why is this happening? Why is this happening? Why is this happening? Hello? Why is this happening? And you form a church right after that. Because you figured out how to get rid of that particular thing that's happening. And you've got a formula, right, for that.
Everybody needs.
Yeah. Why is this happening?
Oh, yeah.
So it's a religious spirit that says these things do not happen to us when you understand truth. We look at the scripture that says the truth is health to all our bones and it means we're never going to get sick. That's foolishness. We're not a body. You're not a body. You're spirit. You're pure spirit. You are not a body. And if it was true, Jesus would still be here in that body that he appeared with. If that was true, he'd still be here. And we can't, right now, I can't see him. I can't. That body. Because he's spirit. And he said when he returns, he will return within us. It's invisible. It's by faith. Okay? So we've got to get off this visual world. We've got to escape this earth and this world that we have formed. And the reason it's got to be true is because each one of us have our own definition. We each have our own subjective definition of what the world should be. I'll guarantee you right now, if you went to Saudi Arabia or Yemen or Afghanistan or Iran, their culture believes you could have many, many wives. It's not a sin to them. Well, it isn't. Who's right? Yeah, but who's right? You know, nobody's right. It's not about any of that. And God's eyes are too pure to behold iniquity. He doesn't see any of this changing atmosphere that's going on down here. He sees everything in righteousness. He sees everything already complete. He sees you where, if you want to even look at time, he already sees you in that place that's 10 trillion years from now. He sees it now. Why can't we enter into that now? Because the cares of this world come in and rob our joy and rob the truth of understanding a righteous God. They come in and rob it. So, thinking that somehow a kingdom will be established in this world at some time in the future is a fatal error. Why? Here's a test. Why? Why is it a fatal error?
Because it's not this world.
'Cause it's in the future. It's in the future. It's the same one as up here before. We're searching for peace and contentment. It's the same thing as wanting some kind of kingdom to be restored here on this earth someday. It's never going to happen. If God was going to establish something here that would fit into our definition of the earth and world, it would have been established.
Right.
It would already be here. And he says it is. But it's outside of our judgment. It dwells outside of our judgment of time and space. That's why it's called faith. It's a realm of faith. So this world that we see is a mortal universe. It's not immortal. It's a mortal universe. It's a mortal universe of time and of judgment. And so we must rise above all of it. We've got to rise above it. And so, in 2 Peter, it says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise that he's made towards us, look for new heavens and a new earth. Now, here's why I'm saying that the threshold of the kingdom begins with understanding righteous judgment, because here it says it again, is looking for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So it's over the first door to the kingdom of heaven is understanding righteous judgment. That's why he calls us little children. those of little faith. And I don't care where I'm called in my understanding of faith. I just want to move forward. I don't care. I'll say I'm a little child. That's all right. If that's what it takes to understand that we've been looking for love in all the wrong places. If that's what it takes. Because the peace I felt was beyond what I can describe. It was just beyond what I could describe. And I can tell, I can sense, I can feel that I've went through a door that's never going to change. I feel it. I know it. I know what I heard, that the door is shut behind me on this. I know it's shut behind me. And so this place of righteousness, this is the Amplified, it's in Romans. He says, we're at a critical hour, and I think we are too right now. It is high time for you to wake up out of your sleep, he says. Arouse you to reality. Arouse you to reality. For salvation, final deliverance is nearer to us now than when we first believed. It's nearer to us now. How can it be nearer to us now? It's only separated. The only place that we're separated from anything is in between our ears. That's the only place there's any separation. Now, to me, that's a relief. Because I thought my problem was somebody else. I thought my problem was that sales are flat the first quarter of this year. Or it was my wife. Or it's my brother, who I love but drives me nuts. I thought he was my problem. Or somebody else was my problem, you know, because when I get around him, it drags me down and I feel uncomfortable. And I said, well, Father, why is that? He says, well, they're not the problem. It says, it's your judgment that's the problem. It's your judgment that's the problem. It's not them. It's never them. And we can't get over that. We always think it's them. We always think when the scripture's talking about the people of the world, it's talking about them.
Yep.
But he's talking to us. He's talking to our view of the world that gets crushed so easily. And we become religious and start praying to a God that can't save us. A God of this world. We start praying to a God that we want to bring in and have him change something in this world. And he's not going to do it. And he's not going to bring peace in this world because it's not real. There's nothing real about something that changes like the bouncing ball in the old songs. There's nothing real about a moving target. So, in Isaiah, it's beautiful to read this passage in Isaiah, and we're going to close with that. The sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Thy people all also shall be all righteous. Thy people shall be all righteous. Well, who is thy people? Should we have a list of people that aren't included? Well, as soon as we did that, we'd be judging them, wouldn't we? It's all the peoples. When we see this righteous judgment the way it needs to be seen, all the people will appear righteous. This is the beginning of the new earth. When it's talking about the sun shall no more go down, it's talking about the end of time. We'll quit counting the days. We won't be running around like a crazy person chasing the clock. We'll be at peace. Neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thy everlasting light. So understanding the Lord is the everlasting light. Understanding this righteous God is the everlasting light. And the days of thy mourning then shall be ended. when we understand that the people are righteous. And in understanding this, it says, they shall inherit the land forever. Because the judgment will be removed. The wrong judgment will be removed. That's how we inherit the land. Because we're seeing everything in righteous judgment. So we'll inherit the land then. We'll quit condemning our neighbor and quit trying to drag something from this world into our life that we think is going to satisfy us. Whatever it might be. We'll quit trying that. We still might wander away from the barn. But we'll feel it. You know, it'll... Oh, yeah, I've been there before. No, thank you. It comes a little quicker next time. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, and has set me to bind up the brokenhearted, and proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. So what's binding us up? Right? Is our not seeing outside of time and space that everything's in order today. Nothing's out of order. Nothing's ever been out of order. Everything is in line right now. And when we don't have a burden or a worry about what will happen tomorrow, we'll understand what that means. So when will all the people be righteous? When we begin to see righteous judgment of the Lord, which is the righteousness of God. That's when we'll possess the land. When we start with understanding righteous judgment. When we understand that judgment, wrong judgment, our sense of judgment, is seeing things out of order, things will start to become in order then, because we'll it's almost like turning a nice sweater inside out. You know, all the things we thought were true aren't true. Just about all of them. You know, in my life, there's hardly anything I believed 30 years ago that I believe anymore. I don't believe any of it, actually.
Yep.
And it shocks me.
Because
I still got families that still believe it.
Yep.
The same thing. And so I'm grateful, I'm thankful, and I'm content with what state I find myself in. And so in that, I'm not looking for something more. So why don't we just be still for a little bit and be done for tonight.